you all. Bless you in the holy name of Jesus. Well, we're here to worship the Lord, and we know that it needs to come from our own heart, not from the group, not from the family, but from individuals. I'd like to welcome our guest, hardly a guest, Stephen Tyner, Maine, and also David Huxtable and his wife. Lord bless you. And there'll be others, no doubt, and some are away because of the holiday time. Shall we stand and sing number 479, In the Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Need to let it show in our faces and not come in with a long face. Doesn't help. Praise God. Number 491, we have come into his house. We've gathered in his name to worship him.
Thank you.
You know, just singing in that, worship Him, Christ the Lord. It doesn't matter whether there's 5,000 people out here worshiping, or only 3 or 4 or 5. It's whether we are worshiping Him. And if I am, then hopefully all the others will join in. So if you are the leader, let it be so. Worship the Lord just as you find Him. He's been to you. Let's sing number... No, we won't do. I'll just open in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Saviour, King of Kings, You are our everything. We thank You, Lord, for the people that are listening in around the world on this internet system, Lord. Mm-hmm. Bless them. They may be in ones and twos or by themselves or wanting to know and love to be a part of it. Well, we'd love to have them too. But Lord, if You are there with them, they are a majority, the one person and You. And it goes for all of us, Lord, that we have You in our heart and we walk with You, talk with You, interact with You in how we think, what we say, where we go. All of these things, Lord, we just lift up Your holy name. Lord, we're just so thankful that we have a place of worship. There's many people, even in this city alone, that are lonely with a lot of people around because they don't know You. Lord, in this Christmas time, we just want to know that Jesus Christ, it's in Your name that we worship. Lord, but we worship You every day, all the time, and so very grateful for it. Bless those in the hospitals, Lord. Bless those that are not well at home, wherever they are. Uplift those that have a problem, Lord, a confusion. They don't know which way to turn. They may feel rejected. We ask, Lord, that You just step in there and be with them. Because, Lord, we know that if we ask that with sincerity in our heart, You do exactly that. You come in and You comfort us. You look after us. You give us strength. You give us hope. And we're very grateful for that, Lord. Just bless the service now in the holy and precious name of Jesus. And once again, Lord, we just remember those folk on the internet, particularly at this time of those in Singapore and Malaysia, Lord. Just bless them, we pray, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Let us sing, "This World Is Not My Home," number 381. You feel like a stranger in this world? I tell you what I do. I just don't belong to them, and I wish I did, like them belonging to us. It would be so good. Let us sing the signs of chimes. The chimes of times, I should say. 217. Another day is true. Someone slipped and fell. Could have been me, but I don't think it was.
The chimes of time ring out.
I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love telling him that I love him. You know what? He comes back to me right away and says, I love you too. You feel his presence, and everybody can have that if only they reach out and be sincere to our Lord. Let's sing number 48. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy deal. The chorus is bringing in the sheaves if you want to know what tune it is.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dew, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, greeting to see.
you know what it's referring to in the sheaves? You, me, all of those out there on the internet, bringing in the sheaves. That's the important thing. The sheaves are what they want to consume and have. And if we bring them into the Lord, becomes into the family of God, those are the sheaves. And you know what? We're the workers on the field. You know, there'll be people out there that are waiting for you to approach them and tell them that Jesus Christ is their Lord too. It's the truth. I know it is a fact. Let's sing Jesus Has a Table Spread, number 43. We have a table spread too, but it's for eating at lunchtime. Okay, you may be seated, and I'll ask Sister Merle and Sister Shirley if they would bring their item for us. And we have the lunch today, the special lunch. And we had a real special lunch coming, and it is. And Barbara's been out there working hard getting it ready. And some of the people had to go away with this time of the year and holidays and things like that, so... Like the Hughes are over at Taranaki, and so it goes on. There is no afternoon service today, as notified previously, and won't be until about later in January that notices are on the board. And our next meeting after this will be Sunday, 30th of December, morning only, same as this next Sunday, 30th. Sorry? Okay. Yeah, Peter and Bubs are listening in over the internet in the Hawke's Bay because they're not here at the moment either.
My way gets brighter, my load gets lighter, walking up the King's Highway. There's joy in knowing walk up there. But the pure in heart, it's the highway to heaven. Walking up the King's highway. If you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway, there'll be a blessing. You'll be confessing, I'm walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway. Walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, angels to guide me. I'm walking up the King's highway. It's the highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Walking up the King's highway. Bells now are ringing, angels now are singing. Walking up the King's highway. I heard the gospel story, I'm anchored safe in glory. I'm walking up the King's highway. It's the highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the
Amen, my sisters. You know, we need to make room because our Lord's walking on the same highway. You know, you're actually not necessarily following him. He's walking with you. He's so real as our Lord. You know, we just know that he's around. I'm really blessed, I know, when he comes. Sister Pauline, you have an item for us. And after Sister Pauline, I'm going to ask Brother Stephen Main if he would pray for any prayer requests that we might have. I don't actually have any, and then after that we might have a few testimonies if we have any, if anyone would like to share those. Thank you, Sister Pauline. It's very nice to hear a Christmas carol in the right vein, not some of the junk that comes over the radio and what have you. To hear it sung correctly and with understanding and with love for our Lord, it's really, really nice. It's a blessing. Thank you, Sister Pauline. I don't have any prayer requests on the internet today, none that I know of. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Main if he'd come down. Is there any that have any that want to pray for at this time? Okay. Well, Sister, she has one. Your name's gone out, unspoken. My name went out of your head. It's also, I'm going to say too, before Steve brings a bit of a message, a big message, and praise, it's for everybody and for you people on the internet at your time of listening, those that you're on live, you've heard if there's any prayer requests. If you have it, give it to the Lord right now. As you're listening right now, you may not be able to speak it out because of the company around you. But in your heart, sincerely ask the Lord to undertake for that need that you have and all the unspoken prayer requests. God knows what's coming. Thanks, Brother Steve.
You're welcome. Back. Oh, God bless you, everyone. Does anybody remember Brother Charles Wilson?
Yes.
He was hit by a car several weeks ago and spent some time in hospital. He's actually out now and is recovering at his home, but he cannot walk. So just remember him. We'll remember him this morning in our prayers. And also another brother Harry Banyard. I don't know if you remember Brother Harry. Really lovely brother. Just a very gentle, lovely brother. But he's been undergoing cancer treatment. He's in his 80s. So it hasn't been, you know, pleasant for him, so we'll just remember him this morning. And any other prayer requests you have on your hearts, brethren, as we pray, we'll just bring them before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord, because we know you're real. Lord, you're in our lives, Lord, every day. Lord, we come, Lord, to you because you are our high priest, Lord, which can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, Lord. And Lord, we bring these brethren before you, Lord, even our own selves, Lord, each unspoken request, Lord, in our hearts to you this morning. Lord, we just want a closer walk with you. Lord, we just pray for the physical needs, Lord, of these brethren, Lord, that need a touch of their bodies, Lord, by you, Lord. We know that you are our healer, you're our Saviour, you're our God and our friend. And we commit ourselves to you, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for those that are away, Lord, that you'd be with them, Lord. May you touch them this morning, Lord. In their listening in, Lord, or wherever they are, Lord Jesus, and amongst family. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd keep us, Lord, through this festive season, Lord. All the folly of the world, Lord. But, Lord, we look to you, Lord Jesus, to keep us. And we give you thanks, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you, brethren. We're just down for a little while. And I'd just like to say I really enjoy coming to church. I really do. But something that's been speaking to me, I've read this several times now over the last few weeks, and it's found in John chapter 6. And Jesus speaking, and he said, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And that spoke to me because there's so much clamour in the world. There's so much, especially in the age we live in, there's so much materialism. There's so many people, you know, clamouring and wanting. And I just thought how restful it is to know that we don't have to hunger. We don't hunger, we don't thirst, because Christ is our satisfaction. He's fulfilled that hunger in our lives, and he's walking with us, he's talking with us, he's with us every day. He knows our every need, he hears our prayers. I know you find that, brethren. I had a need. It wasn't a physical need, but it was something that was happening, and it was a difficulty for me. And I just knelt down before I went to work in the morning, and I said, Lord, you know that difficulty that I'm going through. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'd take that away. Yeah. And he did.
Yes, he does.
He did. It was just so simple. He just took it all away. And I thought, you know, the Lord answered that prayer just like that. I just say, thank you, Lord. He's just so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brethren.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Steve. He has a walk with the Lord over many years, as we know. And it's good to know that the Lord undertakes for us. What he just said and was pointed out there, and I've always thought about this for a long time, is that if you pray for something and you want it in your life, look for the answer. Don't just pray and forget it or put it aside. Look for the answer. And even to continue during the day or over a week or whatever it is and say, Lord, I gave that to you and I'm waiting for the answer. And expect to have an answer, because he replies. He knows what you're going to ask before you even have the problem. And he has the answers, as our sister singing, you know I was going to say it. Give it to the Lord, the answer's already on the way. And it is. And he knows the result. It's just that we don't know the result. But if we ask expecting, he will give it. And it's really an encouragement to us. Now, do we have anybody that has a testimony they'd like to bring at this time, as we don't have the afternoon meeting? Ladies, sisters or brothers, any testimonies at this time? Sister Leah. Jackson's not here today. What about lunch? You miss a big lunch if he's going to not be here. We've got a special luncheon on today. It's really nice.
I'm just wanting to thank the Lord. I guess for some time now I've been of two minds as to whether to maybe look for a new job and a bit of a change in opportunity. And this week it kind of fell into my lap, and I have a new job starting next month. I sit on the committee for the band room, which houses the civic and concert bands, etc. And we've been, for the last 2 years, struggling to find funding to help us repair our roof there. It's got quite a bad leak. And that also came through this week, and we've been given quite a large sum to help go towards our roof repairs. So praise the Lord. He has been very, very gracious this week.
Very good, Sister Leah, very good. It's, as she does, says, it's good to give thanks. And the Lord just waits. Oh, where is the other nine lepers? One came up. Where is the other nine? I'd hate to be in that nine. Give thanks for the littlest thing. My wife and I are very aware of this. In comments and from people that out of the blue, where did that come from? And we both turned around and said, the Lord. We just recognize how it happens. The Lord does it. Any other testimonies? Sister Diane?
So last week there was a youth camp up in Auckland, or around Auckland, and I went there not really wanting to. And then I just wanted to go home the first couple of days. And then when Sunday rolled around, it was quite fascinating. Like, the presence of him, it was all you had to do for the Holy Ghost to just ask, and you got it instantly. It was incredible.
Praise God. That's an encouragement. Sister Diane and Merle.
This is really Bubs's testimony, but she had some tests done at the hospital last week, and I just got a text from her before they went away. She says, praise the Lord, he's answered the prayers, cancer free, everything well. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for that.
Yeah, they told us to on the internet. Yeah. Sister Merle?
I feel quite a serious condition in my life. And I've been praying for the Lord and thought, Lord, there's nothing impossible with you. I'm just trusting you fully, and I believe he's undertaken that for me. I really do thank the Lord, and I'm looking for the answer, Lord. It's already on the way. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, well, you've been practicing that for years, looking for the answer. It's already on the way. But, you know, we've heard about it recently, as Howard's been preaching about it, is that patience is what the Lord wants to go through too. You know, when you think of Abraham, they had to wait 25 years for the birth of Isaac, their age. Wow, that's a long wait. I'd hate to have to go through that. But even a little bit of patience helps our situations. Just because you've prayed and you can't see it tomorrow or the next week, wait for the next week and the next week. Just leave it to the Lord. You know, we pray and we say, yeah, cast your cares upon him. So we cast it down at the foot of the cross. That's my problem. But then we know, we've been told so many times, don't go and pick it up again and take it back with you. Leave it at the foot of the cross. God is God, and we'll see it through. Any other testimonies? We'll even take ladies from the Northland as well, if there's anything she has to share. Go and see her, Paula. She might have something to say. Sister Tina.
God bless everybody. It's nice to be here. What can I say? Jesus, he's alive. He's here. It's how, you know, how you perceive. If you're not in tune with him, you miss him. But he is here, and he's for everybody. He meets everybody's needs, not just his children, but he meets those in the world. You see things just happening, working out right, terrible situations, you know, and you just see how it unfolds, and you can see God's hand and everything. So I just go around saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. I see him just working everything out in everybody's life. So thank you, Lord.
China, that was a very well-spoken testimony, and it's an encouragement. That's true. Any others? Okay. Well, let's just have one more song, and then Brother Howard will come. It's number 575. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Sing it with understanding and from your heart, not other people's, from your own heart. Shall we stand as we sing?
Thank you.
Jesus. It's true. There's something about that name. And it's real. I know it, Lord, because I experience it in my heart. And I'm sure there's many other people. But there's probably more people that have not experienced it yet, that may not know who to ask, where to go. We pray for these people wherever they are on this planet, that they'll reach out and hear from somebody, even us, that Jesus Christ is the answer to our need, whatever the need is. Jesus Christ is the answer. And Lord, you're so real that you affect us internally, and we feel your presence, and it is something special and precious and holy and wonderful. We love you, Lord. Just be with us as we have this sermon, Lord. It'll be for us, Lord. There's always something for everybody, but we need to switch on and be ready to hear from our Lord Jesus Christ. Your Holy Spirit is here. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise be to God. It's good to be in the house of God. As Brother Steve said, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, really. Something special about being in his house. And I pray that he'll be here to bless us and help us to draw closer to him. It's good to have you here, despite those away. We're glad to have you here. Brother David, God bless you. And Joy, is it? No. Joe, I knew it started with J. I don't know why I forget your name. It's just funny, but it's really good to have you here. Brother Steve and his wife and all of you. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Peter. Sister Bubs, I know you're listening because you told me you will be. Down in Hawke's Bay, may God bless you. It's great to have you in the service by other means. And everyone else in all countries. We have about 40 visitors a week come to the service that aren't here, but they're here in spirit. And we appreciate you too. And one day, there'll be no separation, there'll be no distances. We'll all be together with him. That's what we live for. That's what we long for. We are family. The family want to be together because they're born of the same spirit. And we have the same Heavenly Father. So, as I've been saying in recent times, when you get with the family, you speak family talk. It's family talk. You love to talk about the things you love and are a part of. You don't learn it. It's just in you. So we thank God for that. Praise be to God. So, it's Christmas in a couple of days. And I just thought I'd bring a little message here that may speak to us. And I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. It's really amazing because my wife has a calendar in her bedroom. I was walking past and she said, "Oh, just come in here, I want to show you something." And so I went in there to have a look. And on that calendar was exactly the verse we're going to read now. I didn't know that was there. But she said there's something missing out of it. And I said, I wonder if you people would notice what's missing out of it. Her calendar, you can't see it, but I'm going to tell you very briefly. Verse 6, Isaiah 9. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." What wonderful attributes he has. And what was on her calendar was, you know, these translations are not quite right. it said, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. They missed out the. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. To me, that has a lot more punch. But they just strip these words out in a why. But I really thank the Lord that he is. Also like to turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused, which means engaged, to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Isn't God good? Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, to whom he belonged to the family, that one. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. God called her his wife then. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name, the Lord Jesus. Shall we just pray? Lord, we just come to you now, Lord. We ask that you'd quicken your word to us, for you are the bread of heaven. May you come down and reveal yourself to us through your word. We ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may our hearts be settled, our minds settled. May we not wander. But may we just keep our eyes fixed on thee. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this, Unto Us a Child is Born. And I want to read one other scripture from Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now that is a pretty powerful scripture. We'll speak a little more about that later. So this child born was God's best gift to man. A son is given. And not just the baby in the manger, as it's been celebrated in this season, but a Saviour was born. You know, I was thinking this morning, the God of creation, the God that is able to, who has created 200 billion galaxies, when it comes down to his creation, they give him a little shed, a little cave, dusty, smelly little cave for him to be born in. And I was thinking, Lord, how can these things be? But it didn't bother the Lord. Nothing like that bothers him, because he comes from another kingdom. So he condescended from heaven's glory and came right down into a little cave. Because he loved you. And this child born was a gift from our Lord. He was a Saviour. And you don't hear this much in the Christmas story, well, some do, of course, but many are just, you know, he was born and there's cows and sheep and there's stars and there's, you know, swaddling cloth and Mary and Joseph and wise men, and that's all part of the story too, but what actually happened is missed. So I pray that God will quicken it to us. We'll turn to Luke 2:8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were there in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Wow, what an experience. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That's what the angel's presence do. They bring a godly fear into your life. Everywhere in the Bible it's the same. People fell on their faces. They couldn't speak. And the angel has to say to them, fear not, for I am sent from the presence of Almighty God. Brother and sister, this is what happened to them. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. What a wonderful message they received. What a wonderful message they received. Christ the Lord. And the angel brought good tidings of great joy. To who? Who did he bring it to? The shepherds in the fields? No. To all people, says in verse 10. Good tidings, a Saviour to all people upon the earth. That means every person ever born could receive salvation because it was given to the world. The Bible says he died for the sins of the whole world. It's not just good people. People go to church. It's to the whole world. You can be forgiven. You can be saved by a Saviour who gave himself for you. We can't say, I'm not good enough. He didn't ask you to be good enough. He died for you unconditionally. Who loves him this morning? I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all that's within me. Blessed be his holy name. So Jesus was prophesied to come and to be born as a child. But the prophecy never stopped there. We read on. It's also revealed who this Christ was. We go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's all in all, brother and sister. This baby was everything. What a privilege that God gave us him to come. This child was born. It was none other than God himself, born in flesh, known as the Son of God. We read in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As June's father pointed out, he'd been a Greek, of course. It says in the original, it doesn't say, and God was, the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says God was the Word. It's just the way it's put. It's just a bit more powerful understanding. God was the Word. Then in verse 14 we read, verse 1 of John, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. It's actually made flesh. Now, you don't hear people mentioning these things at Christmas time. But even the Christmas carols, as we're speaking this morning, written under inspiration, declared this revelation. I want to read you one of the carol's verses. It says, Word of the Father. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. These are written hundreds of years ago. Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come. Offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hailed the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, which we know Emmanuel means God with us. Furthermore, He just didn't have a natural body. Did you know that? Jesus just didn't have a natural body. But He also had a spiritual body as well. In Romans 8:29 we read, For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And brothers and sisters, it says there that He wants us, whom He foreknew, He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's not talking about looking like Jesus, having a beard, having a long robe and sandals on. He's not talking about that image. That's not the image. We're not going to be all going around looking like Jesus. He doesn't mean that. But it's a different, it's the image, is the nature image of the Lord Jesus. So that when they see you and they see your life and the manifestation of God in you, they may think, boy, they're like the Son of God. Now, no one's ever said that to me, but they have said it to other ministers, or bring Brother Branham was thought, he looked like Christ, acted like Christ. But you know what? That's how we're meant to be. That's what we're meant to do. Start to look like Him, act like Him, do the works that He did. But we see, if you understood His purpose at His coming, very few. You know, there's a bit of noise in Bethlehem, and you know, and people running around on camels and trying to find them, and you know, the shepherds and going to a lonely little cave, and as they called the manger, and there He was. And many rejoiced in Bethlehem, but few, or most, failed to perceive His destiny. It was not to have pretty decorations. It was not ordered to have, you know, little plays and everything. And now, I'm not against that. I'm just saying it wasn't for that. Jesus the baby had a very chilling assignment. Very chilling assignment and a fixed purpose. He was born to die. He was born to die. Just like we see the lambs around us right now. Lovely little lambs skipping around, little tails going. But the reality is they're born to die too, because they're lambs. And this Lamb of God was born to die. And this is never told in the Christmas story either. But Jesus said this very thing to Pilate. In John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You know, brother and sister, you're a child of God, you'll hear the voice of God. You don't just hear it at church either. He'll speak to you at home. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. A child of God won't be chasing after all sorts of things that are not in the Bible, stimulating things of interest. No. A child of God will hear the voice of God speak to their heart. Praise the Lord. But all we see today is a pretty manger, as I said. You never see an old rugged cross. But that's what he's born for. He was born as a lamb to die. And the prophecies were full of his purpose and destiny. Prophecies very explicit and very clear. John the Baptist was one of the few who had a revelation of his purpose. I'm just bringing these scriptures so you'll know that it's what the Word of God says, not my opinion. In John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. He knew he's a lamb, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a revelation our brother had. So John's declaration was word-based, as every true minister would be. We turn to Isaiah 53. We see another prophecy. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's on our Lord, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. Do you know God was oppressed? Do you know the Lord Jesus was oppressed? He was afflicted. Do you know he never opened his mouth about it? He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, this little babe, who's now grown to a man, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Where was this prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled? Any prophecy that comes from God must be fulfilled and come to pass. If it's not, it's not of God. Who believes that? Now, this prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled 700 years later. God speaks, brother and sister, doesn't fall to the ground, always comes to pass. And it says here in Matthew 27:12, And when he was accused, the Lord was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. How many of you will do that? Accused of something you never did. Would you hold your mouth? He did. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. He stood there and said nothing. He knew it was wrong. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. This is a different prisoner. He's not even defending himself. But we read back in the prophecy, as brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he openeth not his mouth. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he was brought before Pilate. Isn't the word of God beautiful and wonderful? So accurate. You know, this is the God we serve, brother and sister. But this Jesus, he knew his purpose of being born. He said in Mark 9:31, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." And they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. He told them exactly what was going to happen. And they were afraid to ask him. Tell you what, I would have asked him, "Lord, what does this mean?" Of course, we know the disciples hadn't received their infilling of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost yet. And it was all new to them. They were trying to grapple with everything. But they found out eventually. It's wonderful. And Jesus taught his disciples. But you know what? It has to be revealed to you. He told them more than once the purpose of his birth. See, nobody can teach you a revelation. No one, there's not a man on earth can teach you a revelation. But it's given by God alone. Whether they understand on it, understood or not, Jesus was fixed to redeem you and I. Who's glad we serve a mighty God? We serve a loving Savior, had a purpose to save you. In Luke 9:51, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." The Lord Jesus had a purpose in mind, a goal in mind, and that was to save you. And that was prophesied to be. Absolutely. It's so wonderful how God speaks. It says here in Isaiah 50, the prophecy 6, "I gave my back to the smiters." Nobody took him. Nobody took Jesus. "No man taketh me down," he says. I lay my life down myself. "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." And that's exactly what they did. They pulled his beard. "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." That's exactly what they did. They spat at him. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed." Flint from the dictionary, I just looked it up, it's just interesting sometimes to look up these words, is a hard stone, very hard or unyielding. Jesus was not going to be yielded by anybody. "I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to go through with this because my people in Gisborne need to be saved. No one's going to stop." His face was like a flint, unmovable, has a destiny. "No one's going to talk me out of this. Not even my disciples." They tried to. Peter said, "Lord, this not shall not happen to you." He says, "Satan, get thee behind me." See, he recognized the opposition about him being sacrificed as the Lamb of God. Truly wonderful. Flint, it says in the prophecy, describes Jesus' intent in going through with Calvary. Nobody was going to stop him saving you and me. I'm so glad we have this sort of character on our side. The really good quote here, I thought it was really good. Brother Ram said, "What's Jesus doing? He's got his eyes set to Calvary. He's going right straight to Jerusalem to be offered up for a sacrifice. The weight of every sin that was ever committed on earth or ever would be committed rests upon his precious shoulders. Brother and sister, he took all of your sin, all of it, every bit of it from the day you're born. The entire life, he took it on himself. It's really hard to understand, but he's fixed on doing it. His face was set like a flint. And Brother Brand says, he was a big man. When people say bad things about you, if you can just go on and forget it, that shows you're a big man. Little men can't tamper with it. He was too big to listen to their criticisms. He had one thing to do. That's the Father's will. He had to die for those men. So he kept going with his face set towards Calvary. You can imagine, he says, the strain on him. And seeing yonder, seeing ahead of Gethsemane, and the agonies of Golgotha, the forsaking of God, that would have ripped his heart out. God would have forsaken him. God forsook Jesus. Who knows that? Why? Because our sin was on him. He was made sin for us. The earth turning black. His shoulders rubbing. He was so weak, couldn't carry the cross, fell down under the load of it. He did that because he loves you. Jesus had the option to get out of it. But his face was fixed like flint. I'm going through. I'm not going to listen to people, what they have to say. I'm going through Gethsemane. I'm going to go through Golgotha. I know I'm going to be rejected of the Father. I know I'm going to scream, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I know these things. Who loves him? I love him with all my heart. He's just so good.
All was on him, even to a scream, Father, if it's possible that this cup pass from me. It's gone out.
Sorry, folks, we're back on here. Let's read this again. His face bleeding, his wounds. All was on him, even his scream, Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me. He had such agony till his water and blood separated and dropped from his brow. The Bible says he dropped drops of blood. I want to say this, that our Christ, our Lord and our Savior, this babe that was born of Bethlehem, went through a tremendous trial for me and for you. He gave everything for me. He gave everything for you. Are you willing to give everything for him? Give your whole life to him. Brother Ram says nothing, only extreme agony would do that. All that was resting upon him. Yes, this child that was born had a gruesome consignment. And Jesus knew from an early age that it was coming. and he thought of you, had you in mind. The Lord had you in mind. He had me in mind. He said, I'm going through for Howard. Going through for Steve. Going through for Barbara. Each one of us. He had us in mind. Now he had his face set towards Calvary. Everyone deserted him. Just think of Christ. Just think of the Lord. Everybody deserted him. His disciples deserted him. He was hanging there alone. And in his greatest trial, God left him. That was the most painful thing for our Lord. As bad as the crown of thorns was, the spear in his side and the nails in his hands, those things were terrible, and the whips on his back. The worst thing of all, the worst thought he ever had was that the Father would forsake him. He knew it would come. He couldn't be identified with his Father and with our sin. But he took our sin. Every drop of our sin and unbelief. Our badness, our unbelief, our failings, he took it all. He stood there, steadfast. What a character. What a character. The love of God, how full and free, how rich and pure. But the disciples looked at each other and they went, it's all over, this is the end of it. But brother and sister, the glorious thing was, it was just the beginning. The end was actually the beginning for you and I. What looked like a defeat was actually the great victory. The Jews really believed it was the end. Peter said, I'm going back fishing. Brother said, I think we'll join you. Very disappointed. You've got to get into their shoes, brothers and sisters. You've got to realize the great impact that was. The one they trusted in, believed in, and loved is now gone. It was a brand new beginning. This firstborn of Mary ended his life at the cross, dying for you and me. He had to die. God required that for sin. That's why the animal sacrifices, the Old Testament, they had to die, the sheep. They all had to die to pay for the sins of the people. And this Lamb of God was no exception. This is the sacrifice, had to die. And dying for you and me, that when he rose again, as he said he would, he was the firstborn. The firstborn, isn't it interesting? It says he was the firstborn. We know he was the firstborn of Mary, but it says he was the firstborn of a new creation. Now this is something totally different. This babe, the Bible says, we read earlier in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. We know that's not his looks, it's character. That he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Who's part of that family? Hallelujah. We're the brethren. We are many brethren, and hundreds of thousands throughout the ages have all come the same way, have come through Calvary, come through our Lord, and have entered into the new creation. He made it possible for you and I. to cross over from death unto life. He was that bridge. We all must cross over to him or we perish. I want to tell the whole world, we must all cross over to Jesus Christ or perish. He is the only way that you can make clean for heaven. He is the only one who can take you through the gate, for he is the gate. But the wonderful part is, it's so easy to cross over into eternal life. As we said the other day, people make it so complicated. Oh, I can't be a Christian. I'm just such a bad person. I can't even be in the bride. Oh, it's no hope for me. Who said that? Who said that? Christ was a perfect sacrifice. And when you're identified with him, you are perfect in him. And God will receive you on the basis that you're identified with your sacrifice. So wonderful. And the more you walk with God, the more real that becomes to you. Listen to Jesus' own words. In John 5:24, verily, 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 that means truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's how you get there. And shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You know, there's people in the graves right now, we all know them. We've known many, and Brother Norm, my dad, and my mother, and Brother Tahu, and all the saints. They're all waiting. Sister Brown, Hazel Brown, all wonderful brethren, all waiting in the grave. But when they hear the voice of God, they shall live. What an hour awaits the children of God. This firstborn of Mary opened the door to a new life for us. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, not coming, oh, I wonder if he will accept me. Come with boldness. Not in your boldness, in God's boldness. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the only way you can go in there, is through the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. It's a new and living way. It's a new creation. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, because he died and his blood ran from him, we have access into his presence. So Jesus became more than the firstborn of Mary. More than. He was, but he was more than that. This is a spiritual family, as I said before. There's no natural connections to the new family birth. There's no natural connections to it. You're born by your mother and father. This is something totally different. Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, do I have to go into my mother and come out again? He said, no, no, don't do that. He said, you've got to be born again to enter this family. And Jesus told the people very clearly, I belong to another family. He brought the distinction between his natural family and the spiritual family that we belong to. In Mark 3:32, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. His family came, his brothers and sisters all came, and Mary, and they came, we want to see Jesus. She said, my son. And we want to see him. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he looked around about them that sat about with him and said, behold, my mother, and my brethren. The believers. It's another family. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and mother. Have you experienced that? Who is your real family? Brothers and sisters, you know as well as I do. If you've really been in the presence of God and you've entered into that veil and you've become a part of Christ, and He is your Father. When we are born again through accepting the faith, by faith, the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus becomes my brother and my father. As we sing that song, He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Is He everything to you? You don't have to say yes, but if He is, just say yes. Is He everything to you? So wonderful. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, He has given us power to what? Become sons and daughters of God. Let's read in John 1:12 as we bring this to a close. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them. Believe on His name. That man, that jailer, the Filipino jailer, he came down, he said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Who believes your house can be saved? Amen. Claim them, brother and sister. You, under that same token, the same promise, claim your family, that God will reveal Himself to them. Hallelujah. It'll also be a spiritual family likeness, as we said. We'll be conformed to His image. We will also act the same as the firstborn did. If you get born into this family, you'll act like Him. You're in His image. We close with the scripture in John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The same works that Jesus did, we should have manifested in our lives. Who believes this? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now we understand why Jesus was born. It's more than just tinsel. And I'm not against those things, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying we lose the meaning. We go down that track of those displays and things. So we can now be born into this family of the firstborn. God bless you, brothers. Because He came and died for us, took our place. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Oh, me. I love Him with all my heart. I want more of Him. Who wants more of the Lord? Raise your hand. Amen. Why don't we just stand for prayer, brother and sister? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee in Your wonderful and precious name, Lord. We sing that song, Down From His Glory. You left heaven's glory and You condescended down to humans, down to our sinful little place. You came and You became one of us, Lord, and You're identified with us. You took all our sin, Lord, and You were judged for it. So, Lord, we say thank You for judging us. Lord, taking our judgment, I mean. Thank You, Lord. We bless Your holy name. Please have Your way, Lord. This is my prayer. Is anybody here who hasn't been identified with You by saying, Lord, I believe on Thee? May they do it today. Lord, it's not coming to church and saying, yeah, that's what we believe. It's got to be in our hearts. I receive You now, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let's just sing this song.
Angels came out and they started glorifying God. I'm sure those shepherds joined in. What a time it must have been. He came to save you. He came to forgive you. He's made the way for you. You can't make it yourself. You can only make it through Jesus Christ. Accept what he's done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Mild healing is glory by all. Christmases, the Savior was born and he done a wonderful job. And if anyone goes to hell, it will not be his fault. He's done everything for you. All you have to do is say, Lord, I receive what you've done for me. Brother Tim, would you like to come close? Hark the hymn.
A little bit, you know, when Mary gave birth to Jesus, she was probably holding him and cherishing him, you know, and same with Joseph and things like that, and no doubt brothers and sisters and things like that. And then coming right up, they despised him, you know, they were spitting on him, beating him with rods and things like that. But each person that touched him didn't realize they were holding the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, creator of all the universe. And their Saviour. Do you think he had any resentment for them? He went all the way with his lover and paid it all for us. We just thank him for that, Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Jesus, Lord, we love you this morning, Lord, and Lord, we're just so grateful, Lord, that you came and died for us, Lord. Not only did you die, Lord, but you rose again. And Lord, we're just so grateful that you did, Lord, and you paid the price in full, Lord, that we might just come to you and accept what you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, like Brother Howard said, there would be no one, Lord, it won't be your fault that any are left out, Lord. We just, Lord, you've paid it all. We just thank you so much, Lord. And Lord, I just pray a blessing upon each one here, Lord, those that aren't here, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just be where they are and comfort them, Lord, and to know the true treasure of Christmas, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for a blessing upon the food, Lord, and the fellowship that we have, Lord, and that it would be sweet, Lord. And all around your name, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.